Welcome to Food for Thought. My name is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com and on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And be sure to subscribe to Food for Thought at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're enjoying this free podcast called Food for Thought, I encourage you to share it with others and leave ratings and reviews. Word of mouth is the best way to increase its listenership, and supporting it is the best way to keep it going. You can go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau to join others who are supporting this work. Especially if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see where I have been producing a regular stream of 1 minute vegan videos to help answer the most commonly asked questions in 1 minute, such as, should vegans eat honey? Shouldn't we avoid eating soy? Shouldn't we eat honey to support bee populations? Don't our canine teeth prove we need to eat meat? And so on. Your support makes all of this possible. Thank you in advance. Today's topic is vegan in France and a little in Switzerland. Hi, everyone. Happy New Year. I hope you're doing fabulously well. And welcome to this episode on vegan in France. As you've probably guessed or seen, I've just returned home from France and Switzerland, which I will also touch on, and I want to share with you what I think might be helpful or relevant for you, whether or not you join me on our group trips, our CPG vegan trips. And I also want to let you know that I am thrilled to bits to announce that I've delivered the manuscript for my newest book to my publisher, and now I'm just waiting to get big picture changes to it, and then we'll go through copy editing. So there's a lot more to do, but I'm so thrilled about this book, and I really think it's going to be helpful for so many of you. It's called The Joyful Vegan, Everything You Need to Stay Vegan in a World That Wants You to Eat Meat, Dairy, and Eggs. And it is just that. It's the perfect follow-up to the 30-Day Vegan Challenge, which helps you to transition to becoming vegan. And The Joyful Vegan is everything you need to help you once you become vegan. The center of this book, the meat, if you will, of this book is the 10 stages of what happens when you stop eating meat, dairy, and eggs. And if you've listened to that series on this podcast, let me just say the book is 10 times better as I go into everything much more deeply. But the point is to help you stay vegan, addressing all of the social and emotional and communication aspects of being vegan. I just found out that my publisher bumped up the release date to November of this year, 2019, which means the book will be available around October. That's how it works. So make sure you're on the mailing list at joyfulvegan.com so you can pre-order and not miss out. I think it's going to be a game changer. I am really excited about this book. Anyway, on to our topic. This particular trip that I'm going to be talking about was a CPG vegan trip, CPG, for those of you who don't know, being my initials. And if you haven't heard of these trips, I encourage you to check out cpgvegantrips.com or cpgtrips.com, where you'll find all the information about them and which trips are available to sign up for. In short, we host vegan group trips to different countries around the world, and we take care of everything for you. Not only is everything included, all of your meals, a lot of wine, your five-star accommodations, excursions, transportation, tips to all of our vendors, and the support for any of the animal sanctuaries and animal organizations or vegan organizations we support as part of the trip. We also spoil the heck out of you, and we work with hotel and restaurant chefs to create the most incredible food experience. I am not going to lie. There is no risk of starving on our trips. Quite the opposite. The food abundance is a little out of control. And a lot of it is because we want to make up for every bad vegan meal you've ever had. For every time you were served iceberg lettuce at a wedding or a single unflavored roasted tomato at a work engagement. Yes, I've had both of those experiences. So food is a significant part of our trips. So is animal protection, as I said. In every country we visit animal sanctuaries, having first visited and vetted them, and we support the work being done to protect animals in various countries. So for instance, in Thailand, we visited an elephant sanctuary, a gibbons rehabilitation center in the forest, a dog and cat rescue. You can listen to the podcast episode I did on Thailand. So whether, again, you join us or not, I write these episodes not just as a commercial for CPG vegan trips, but to help you navigate being vegan in these countries when you travel by yourself. So Thailand has an episode. In Vietnam, we went to Animals Asia, a fabulous organization rescuing and providing sanctuary to the bears who are victims of the bile industry. So you can listen to the Vietnam episode. We also went to Da Nang in Vietnam to learn about the work being done to protect the habitat of the endangered primate. called the langur monkey. In Rwanda, of course, we're visiting the endangered mountain gorillas and golden monkeys. We're traipsing through the forest to see chimpanzees, and we're going on a safari to see the newly introduced, reintroduced lions, elephants, hippos, giraffes, and other animals who had been displaced by the genocide and the refugee crisis in Rwanda and neighboring countries. And in France, well, I'll get to that. So that's what CPG Vegan Trips are all about. We're very proud to have a lot of repeat travelers who've been with us on many of our trips. So again, you can visit cpgtrips.com and see and sign up for upcoming trips. I really encourage you to do that now. We're not, you know, a big company, so we can't just hold trips. We're not, you know, we're not a big travel company. We work directly with the hotels and restaurants, so we need to know by a certain date if we need to reserve, again, everything, the restaurants, the excursions, and most importantly, the hotels. So if you're interested in these trips, you need to go to cpgtrips.com right now for the 2019 trips. They are going to either sell out or we're not going to sell out, which means we have to cancel the trip. So if this is appealing to you at all, you do not have to pay all at once. So if you're interested in the Paris-Alsace trip for 2019, which is in December, so you have plenty of time to save and plan for it, you really want to sign up and secure your spot now, because we need to know in pretty much a month whether or not we need to reserve the hotel. We have our own hotel in Alsace, so we need to secure that now. If you're interested in Thailand, we need to know within a month also, and same thing with Rwanda. We opened up another Rwanda trip, but I'll tell you more about that at the end of this podcast. Just know that if you're interested at all, you need to go to cpgvegantrips.com and sign up. So for now, let's focus on France. Of course, vegan is probably the last thing that comes to mind when you think of France. It's definitely the last thing that comes to mind when the French think of themselves, a place that prides itself on its buttery pastries and beautiful patisserie, meaty main dishes, and cheese, cheese, cheese. It's not a cliche. It's true. There are over 400 varieties of dairy-based cheese in France, closer to 1,000 if you count the sub-varieties, some of the more popular ones being Roquefort and Brie, Camembert, Munster, and Chèvre, which is made with goat's milk. So it means basically everywhere you go, there's cheese, dairy-based cheese. So why in the world would we run a trip to France? Well, that's one of the reasons. First of all, my partners in CPG Vegan Trips speak French as well as English. Seb is fluent, Bridie is pretty close, and they've spent a lot of time in France, so they know the regions really well. And second, that's what sets us apart on CPG Vegan Trips, is that we go to places that are actually harder for vegans to have the full experience, just because they don't eat meat, dairy, and eggs, or participate in animal exploitation and performances, etc. So we want to give our travelers everything non-vegans get. There's no reason vegans shouldn't get to experience everything non-vegans experience when they travel, and that's one of the things we do. What's more is this particular trip was not an ordinary trip. It was a Christmas trip. That is, we created a magical fairy tale Noel in Alsace, France, starting off in Paris. And I'm proud to say we really delivered. I think the best thing we heard was from one of our travelers named Doug, who came on our trip with us with his partner, Jim, who said, "I found the spirit of Christmas on this trip." Seriously? Like, I couldn't imagine a better endorsement. And nobody does Christmas like the Europeans, with their ridiculously adorable Christmas markets and magical lights and mulled wine. So let's back up and start in Paris, where our trip began. Now, David and I, along with Brady and Seb, were in Paris just a few years ago as part of our trip to Provence. And we were shocked then to see how much vegan had expanded in Paris. I'll say expanded because since then it has exploded. That was just a few years ago. And now it is unbelievable. For those of you who have been, who know, there are so many vegan restaurants and shops there, and even vegetarian restaurants that have been there for a while that now have more vegan options on their menu. I don't know if you saw The Economist. Was it The Economist magazine? Just put out an article at the end of 2018 that said 2019 is the year of the vegan. So predicting that it will become mainstream, it will be continue to expand. And we certainly saw that in Paris. Now, When we host our CPG trips, we arrive a couple days before our travelers. So, of course, we took advantage of a couple local shops and restaurants while we awaited the start of our trip. We started with a visit to Hank's Burgers. So there's a vegan burger place in Paris and Lyon as well. And they use Beyond Burger for their patty, and they have a lot of variations of the burgers and fries, etc. They also have Hank's Pizza in a different location, again, all vegan. We also stopped by Un Monde Vegan, which is an all-vegan grocery store that opened in 2012 that we went to a few years ago when I believe it was the only vegan grocery store in Paris. And now there are several, and we went to several of them on our trip. So our trips kick off in the evenings when we have our official welcome drinks. So we have that morning and afternoon to walk around Paris and just check out some other places before our travelers arrived. So we started out by going to Cloud Cakes, which is a vegan bakery and coffee shop, which is adorable and filled with delicious baked goods. There were muffins, there were brownies, there were cupcakes and croissants. And of course, we let all of our travelers know about all of these vegan places before they arrive so they can check them out, because not everything is part of our trip. Our trip to Alsace is not, you know, half Paris, half Alsace. It's a couple days in Paris because that's where everybody starts and meets. And then we're in Alsace for the rest of the time. So we can only do so much in Paris, but a lot of people come earlier, check out Paris. We give them all the things they want to check out, even if it's not part of our trip. And then a lot of people after our trips go back to that destination. So a lot of people did go back to Paris. So we did run into some people at Cloud Cakes the first day we were there. And we saw a beautiful family from Vermont who traveled with us 4 years ago to Italy and who now joined us on our Paris-Alsace trip. They had arrived the day before, so they were checking out Cloud Cakes as well. And one thing that was really funny is that there was an American couple there at Cloud Cakes and who overheard them talking once we left and asked them what brought them to Paris. They obviously recognized their American accent, their English language, and they told them that they were there on a vegan trip to Alsace that started in Paris. Later on that day, that same couple, clearly having vegan radar, overheard another of our travelers at a different time, in a different place, talking and found out that they too were on our trip. And so apparently the couple had wanted to go to other places in France, but figured it would be too hard to eat outside of Paris, to eat vegan outside of Paris. But because they found out about CPG vegan trips, they signed up for our Alsace 2019 trip on the spot. So they're actually secured for our Alsace 2019 trip, assuming it's a go, which it will be if you sign up. And of course, that's one of the nice things about having stores and restaurants dedicated to all things vegan is that they're great places to meet and build community. And maybe I should just hang out in vegan stores and bakeries and restaurants in Paris, because apparently that's the great place to promote CPG vegan trips. So we did a lot of walking around that day. We did pop into, we didn't go in, but we went to Notre Dame, obviously. And there is an archaeological crypt just across the way from Notre Dame. And I really encourage you to check it out. It really gave you a sense of Paris as an ancient city with its Gallo-Roman remains when the city was inhabited by the Parisii. The Parisii was a Celtic tribe that first settled on the site of Paris 2,000 years ago and from whom the city takes its name. I highly recommend you visit, if you've already been to Notre Dame and you don't want to go there again, go to the archaeological crypt just across the way. It was fantastic. I think it's free. I believe it was free. I also recommend a lunch place right in the Notre Dame region. In fact, it was just kind of behind Notre Dame and near the Sorbonne. It's called Le Grenier. It's Grenier. And apparently they have a really nice story. Apparently they opened in 1978 as really the first vegetarian and macrobiotic restaurants in Paris. And they've had the same chef since then. I imagine a lot has changed since 1978. Though it is vegetarian, there are a ton of vegan options. And it was the perfect warming lunch after walking around the city. It was a very chilly time, which is, we went there for that. And it was perfect and moody. And wintry. And so we had soup and lots of delicious, delicious food. So check that out when you're there. We then took a walk to Les Invalides, which is where Napoleon's tomb is, which was quite impressive, really beautiful space. It used to be a hospital. It was an army hospital. Absolutely gorgeous. And the tomb itself is beautiful. There are other war heroes there, but definitely Napoleon's tomb was quite impressive. So we walked there. David really loves French history, especially Napoleonic history. And so this was one of David's places he really wanted to go. So I do recommend a visit there if you're in Paris, or if it's one of your, you know, second or third trips to Paris and you have done most of the obvious sites. These are definitely some great places to go. If you come on our Vegan Alsace 2019 trip, I do recommend you come a couple days early to experience some of these things. So it's an opportunity to do that again, whether or not you've been in Paris before. Dinner that night was very special. So I guess, yeah, this was the day before everybody came. So the dinner that night, we went to a really lovely brand new vegan restaurant, brand new within the last year, a restaurant called Le Potager de Charlotte. And thank you, Hannah McNeely, my friend, who recommended them, because we really weren't aware of them. It wasn't on our radar. It's a beautiful little Parisian bistro run by two brothers named David and Adrian. Charlotte is their mom. And they opened this family restaurant in 2015. The food is absolutely beautiful, sophisticated, vegetable forward. I give it 5 stars out of 5. So please go there. Their menu changes with the season, but there are some staples that I can recommend, because there are some staples that are they have all year round. They have this really awesome avocado, which is like a hard-boiled egg. Trust me, get the avocado. They also have a chickpea and rice pancake with cashew cream that's on the menu year round, and it was fabulous. And the cacao cream for dessert, just don't delay, just get it. It's delicious. And we're already planning on working with them as one of the restaurants for our group when we go back in 2019. So if you're joining us on that trip, you will definitely get to enjoy it. So don't go there before it's part of the trip. So again, the name is Le Potager du Charlotte. By the way, don't forget that Patreon supporters at $10 a month and higher, they receive written transcripts of all the podcast episodes. So if you're a supporter and you're trying to keep track of all of these names, I'm sending you the transcript for this episode, and I'm also going to have a separate sheet altogether so you can see the places that I'm recommending. So you can become a supporter at patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. $10 a month and above gets you the transcripts. So don't forget about that. Now, all of the vegan restaurants and shops I've named so far are in the Marais, a really adorable neighborhood in Paris, M-A-R-A-I-S, Marais, which reminds me of Trastevere in Rome and the West Village in New York City, or the Mission in San Francisco. It's very trendy, very chic in some areas, but it's also very historical. It's diverse. It's residential. It has a really lovely feel to it. It's also got medieval winding cobblestone streets and everything you could want right outside your door. There's bars, restaurants, hotels, there's boutiques, trendy shops, there's bread shops, there's art galleries, museums, all crammed into this beautiful little area. And it's also close to all of the better known sites like the Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, the Seine. So it's in walking distance to all of these places, the Louvre. So it's a really fabulous neighborhood. Again, whether you're going with us or you're going on your own, the Marais area is really what I recommend. It is the closest you'll get to the feel of medieval Paris. It has more pre-revolutionary buildings and streets left intact than any other area in Paris. It used to be an enclave for the wealthy, but after the revolution, much of the area was abandoned by the rich, and the poor bohemian types moved in. Does it sound familiar? It was considered so squalid at one point that it was nearly destroyed by city officials who wanted to modernize Paris. So it's quite a gem. So I highly recommend you check it out to get a glimpse into pre-Napoleon Paris. Most of Paris was a labyrinth of these cobblestone alleys. But when Napoleon came to power, he hired Haussmann to redesign the city. So all those large avenues and gigantic squares that we've come to associate with Paris, that was all very purposefully done when Napoleon hired Haussmann to create all those beautiful buildings and streets. But the Marais retains its medieval past. So check it out. It is also the center of all things vegan in Paris. So if you want to have just a real little vegan bubble, that's where you want to go. So we stopped by another vegan store called Today Tomorrow. I'm not going to pronounce it in French. It's called Today Tomorrow, which was adorable. It featured dry and frozen groceries, supplements, a small bulk section. There were non-food items like shoes and purses and socks and cosmetics, of course, all cruelty-free. And it was attached to a small little vegan cafe. So that's a really adorable store I highly recommend. At this little store, we each bought a gift for our Dirty Santa White Elephant game that we play at the end of our Christmas trip with everybody. So we encourage all of our travelers to buy a gift that then at the party, the Christmas party, the last night in Alsace, everybody, I'll explain later, exchanges these gifts. More on that later. After being at Today and Tomorrow, we ventured out to check out VG Patisserie, which is a sweet little vegan patisserie that would be providing, did provide some of our baked goods for our breakfast. Absolutely adorable. It's very small, but the food was delicious. We obviously had some on our trip, but we didn't stay there for lunch because it's small and the tables were all occupied. But we decided to go instead for lunch to East Side Burgers, a vegetarian burger place that also has vegan cheese. So the burgers themselves are vegan, but they do have some non-vegan cheese. So make sure you ask for the vegan cheese when you go. And we did indeed have vegan burgers and fries and onion rings. I have to be honest, the hardest part of doing these trips, for, I do this for you, is I have to eat all the food. And then I gain 5 pounds so that I can report back to you what we discovered. It's very difficult. It's very difficult work. So we did, I think I really did gain 5 pounds from the burgers and all of the patisserie, especially in France. But you can have more self-control than me. After that, we headed back to our hotel to have some downtime before our kickoff welcome drinks with our travelers, the 25 people who signed up to let us spoil them for 10 days in Paris and Alsace, respectively. As I said, we take over the hotel in Alsace, which is pretty awesome. That means we have our own vegan hotel. I will tell you more about that because it was absolutely incredible. So we have 26 people who come because that's how many rooms we can fill. We did have someone who canceled because they were sick. So we had 25 people. And for 2019, we are 3/4 full at this point. Like I said, if you're interested, and hopefully you will be at the end of this episode, you really want to secure your spot now. Now, we call this trip Vegan Alsace because we do reside in Alsace for 6 nights once we leave Paris. But keep in mind, this trip actually consists of seeing 3 countries and that we start in Paris. So we start in Paris, we take the train down to Alsace, which has gone back and forth between French and German hands, and this has a very German feel to it, as you can see in all the architecture, all the half-timbered buildings. And then we have day trips to the Black Forest in Germany, which I will get to, Baden-Baden in Germany, and Basel in Switzerland. So technically, for this trip, you see 3 countries, but I'm getting ahead of myself. At our initial welcome drinks, we always kick off our CPG trips with a special first meal. And in Paris, we started off with a fantastic dinner at Les Potagers du Marais. So we've been there before. You may have heard me talk about it. It's a vegan restaurant we had at a few years ago on what I think was the hottest day of the year. And of course, in Paris, there's no air conditioning, so it's the hottest day of the year. But we couldn't resist getting, you know, the onion soup, which of course we had this time, which was perfect because it was cold and raining outside. So we had the hot onion soup, the seitan bourguignon, the creme brulee, and it couldn't have been more perfect. So whatever season you go to Paris, or if you join us for the 2019 trip, I think the onion soup is something you will not want to miss out on. I mean, I hate to call it French onion soup because to them it's just onion soup, but to us it's French onion soup with cheese on the top and all of that. Something David grew up with, and the first time we went to Les Potagers du Marais, he was freaking out. So go back for that, and you'll probably want to try and replicate this at home, but it was absolutely incredible. So we had walked around that area the night before. It was really magical with all the lights and the outdoor cafes. But that night it was raining with our group, so we just walked back to the restaurant. And I have to say, it was really funny because the night before when we were walking around, I was really struck by how much the French sit outside, even in cold weather, because so many of the cafes have heaters and blankets for their outdoor tables. But even in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, where it gets maybe 50 degrees at night, you know, like 50 something, you know, in the evening when people would be sitting outside, nobody sits outside, even in those temperatures. And it was just something I noticed. In Paris, it had to have been like 20 degrees. Okay, maybe not 20 degrees. It was probably 30 degrees and people were sitting outside and it was raining and people were sitting outside because there's awnings and then, like I said, there's heaters and there's blankets. But it's something I just wish we had more of here. I go outside as long as I can until I'm freezing and I can't stand it anymore. We have a little heater in one part of our yard, but it was just really striking how many people were outside. Also a lot of smokers, of course, which is something you can't help but notice. But it was a lovely evening. It was a wonderful kickoff to our trip with everybody. Ridiculously delicious and filling. It was the beginning of a lot of food for the rest of the week. So the next day, everyone enjoyed a delicious buffet breakfast at our hotel. And then the Paris part of our trip began with a walking tour of the Marais led by Vegan Food Tours France. So it's a lovely little walking tour led by a very lovely, knowledgeable young woman named Alice, who led us around the winding streets of the Marais with two vegan stops. So it was really lovely. One of the stops was at the oldest market. You know, it's a produce market, so there's animal products there as well, but just lots of vegetables and fruits that are all seasonal, all local. So we stopped there and she had arranged the soup place to make two soups for us. So we had our stop there. One thing that was really lovely, I have to tell you, one of the things we do, we give a gift bag to everybody when they start, and it's to encourage as much zero waste as possible, and it's to just also get people excited. And so one of the things we offered on this trip were these mugs, enamel mugs. And I didn't know that Brady and Seb had already created a design. And so it's specific to the Alsace trip. And the mugs are very important because when you go to the Christmas markets, you get the mulled wine or non-alcoholic wine, whatever, and you can just keep your mug. So we had encouraged people to bring their mugs with them. And so our soup was filled up in our mug, and then we were able to wash out our mug. So we try to encourage zero waste as much as possible. And we were able to enjoy those soups without creating any waste. So we did that. And then a second stop, I'll get to in a second. So you can, again, contact Vegan Food Tours France. Alice is the founder. And you can arrange a walking tour of your own or join a walking tour that she already has. But it was really lovely, and it was a wonderful way to learn more about the Marais and the history of it. So you can do a lot more than that if you go on your own, but as we had already had so many food excursions scheduled, we didn't want to overwhelm our travelers, but I think Alice does a lot more than just the two stops when she does these walking tours. So I don't want to say too much more here because I really want you to experience it for yourself if you come with us in 2019, but I will say that a surprise point of the trip that even Alice didn't plan is something we're going to build in to our future trips. It was so funny. So we're walking through the Marais and we were on our way to the next destination. And she pointed out, Alice just pointed out as we were walking, there's a vegan leather purse store. She said, right over there. And so everyone kind of did this double back and went over to see if it was open, and it looked closed. And so we all walked over and we're all kind of pressing our faces against the glass, and it was closed, but the owner was sitting there working at his desk right there. So he saw us, so saw this big group of people and opened up the store for us, which was the best thing he could have done because a number of us bought bags and wallets that day. So the shop is called, and again, I will definitely put photos up, and you may have already seen some. The company is called Arsayo, A-R-S-A-Y-O. I think it's a combination of his children's names. So A-R-S-A-Y-O, and I think it's arsayo.com because it's a very unique name. Nobody else has that domain. And if you go to the page for today's episode at joyfulvegan.com, you will see a link to it. So it's a French family company founded in 2016. And it's one vegan bag, basically. He created one vegan bag, one bag, sold in three different sizes and several different colors. And they're not only really stylish and comfortable, they kind of like morph to your body. I'll explain. They're also very secure. And they've even won some design awards for the unique security of the bag. So they're getting a lot of attention, including internationally. I encourage you to go to arsayo.com. I know they're coming to the States for an event, so get on their mailing list to see if they're coming near you. I don't know about them shipping to the States. I'm sure they do. You'd probably just have to pay shipping. I might get one more bag because because I was coveting a bag, and maybe I'll wait for the 2019 trip instead of having it shipped. And they have wallets too, but I can't even tell you how perfect it was that we happened upon the shop. And I'm not exaggerating. I had been recently wearing a, you know, across the body bag because I don't like purses. I don't like purses that hang on one shoulder. I just don't like that feeling. So I usually have either backpacks or across the body bag. And the across the body bag that I'd been wearing, I don't carry a lot of stuff with me, but you know, my phone, my wallet, it was heavy and my shoulders started hurting. So I started looking for a backpack that I could wear. Now I already have a small travel backpack from REI that's very casual. It's really functional. I love it because it has a water bottle slot on the outside and another small slot that I can just grab my phone from or my water bottle from. It's, I love it, but it's very casual. And I was looking for something just a little nicer, just like a vegan leather bag. So prior to leaving on this trip, I was looking for a nice backpack. I went to several stores, which I hate doing because I don't like shopping. And then I started searching online and I must have spent 2 hours. I was looking at like Matt and Nat and other vegan stores for a stylish backpack. And even though Matt and Nat has some really nice ones, nothing jumped out at me. And I didn't want to spend $150 for a bag I wasn't certain about, that I couldn't tell the size of. I couldn't tell how it was going to feel on my back. So when the owner of Arceo opened the doors and we walked in, it was like a choir of angels singing, maybe not that dramatic, but kinda, because I was in heaven, because it wasn't a purse shop. It was a shop that featured backpacks, one backpack and wallets, which is also what I needed because I had a horrible wallet that I bought several years ago when I was helping my mother in New Jersey. I bought it from Target. It was pink and I hate it. It was cheap. So I'll keep it, you know, in case I ever need another wallet, or I'll donate it. But Arceo had these beautiful wallets as well, which I got one. It was like $20. They were really beautiful. And again, 10 different colors, something like that. And same thing with the backpacks, 10 different colors, small, medium, and large. And so a number of us bought bags. I was coveting this really nice yellow mustard color, but I got more of a practical kind of taupe, dark gray color. But I'm really coveting the mustard color. So I have to either wait or order that one. So it was really lovely. I have a photo of all of the gals who bought one of the backpacks, and we happened to each buy one in different colors. So you'll get a sense of the different colors. It's pretty awesome. Then we went to another vegan grocery store that also featured, we had wine and cheese for everyone, another cheese. There are so many vegan cheeses now popping up. We had another vegan cheese that was fantastic. I'll have to remember, yeah, I'll have to get the name of the vegan cheese that we had. I'm just making a note to myself because it was fantastic. It was a camembert and it was unbelievable. So I'll get the name of that as well. So at this point, everyone had a little free time. So we relaxed for a bit and then it was time to leave for the first surprise of a very full day. Now, one of the treats of going to Europe in the winter at Christmas time is enjoying one of the many Christmas markets that are, you know, in every town, every city, every village, every neighborhood seems to feature these. So Christmas markets originated in Germany. And in fact, the first Christmas market we ever experienced was indeed in Germany, first in Frankfurt when we were there a few years ago, and then again in Nuremberg and then in Rotenburg. But these Christmas markets have spread to other European countries as well. So if you've never experienced a European Christmas market, you are in for a treat. They go back to the late Middle Ages in Germany, and they're traditionally held in the town square, and they feature open-air stalls selling food and drink and seasonal items, you know, little ornaments and that kind of thing, and local craftspeople. There's also singing and dancing in some of them. So aside from the fact that we found vegan sausages in one stall in the market in Rotenburg in Germany a couple years ago, it was just, it's such a find, right? We were in Nuremberg and there was an entire vegan stall, and that we've seen this now since. So it was pretty awesome. We're seeing more and more of this. And one of the highlights of these markets, of course, is also Glühwein. It's called Hotwein, Glühwein in German, and vin chaud in France, hot wine, which is basically hot mulled wine with or without a shot of brandy. So it's kind of fun. You walk around with your mug. And what's really cool is a lot of these markets are already zero waste, in the sense that many of the stalls give you a mug when you get your Glühwein or your hot wine, and you make a deposit for that mug, and when you're finished drinking, you can go back to pretty much any stall and you return the mug and you get your deposit back. So it's kind of zero waste, but we all had our mugs when we went to these markets. So we were already doing that, but it's something to look for when you go to these markets. Now, I'm going to say more about Christmas markets when we get to Alsace, but we found out that in Paris, some folks had created a vegan Christmas market that happened to fall on the same day we were there, and which we brought everyone to. It was a surprise. And it was small and it was cute. And I don't know if we're going to do it again because it was kind of small and cute, but it was lovely to support a vegan Christmas market. But because it fell on just the one day, I'm not sure it's going to happen next year because it would have to be the same exact day that it would work for us. But after that, we took everyone to what I think was the biggest surprise, probably a highlight for me and I think a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you now because I plastered it all over the internet and I'm going to keep telling people about it because it was pretty amazing. The Shangri-La Hotel in Paris is a luxury hotel. It is absolutely stunningly beautiful. And they have an afternoon tea. Their afternoon tea is vegan. Okay, yeah, get back on your chair because you probably fell off your seat. Their elegant, sophisticated, beautiful, delicious, incredible, abundant, decadent afternoon tea is vegan. They don't offer a non-vegan tea. So we arranged, nobody knew we were doing this, to have our own private room. We arrived. Everything was already, set up for us. Everyone had a different table and there were patisserie and scones and little sandwiches and tea in this gorgeous hotel in our own private room with a piano player and singer delighting us with their music. It was pure magic. And I think everyone felt like royalty. It really was pretty incredible. So I don't want to tell you all the surprises for the rest of that evening because it's a very CPG Vegan Trips thing to do is we like to surprise folks. But let's just say that in the testimonials people provided, and you can see some of them and you can hear some of them and watch some of them. We have videos. This was the top of their list for the highlights of their trip that day in Paris, that night in Paris, because there was more magic. It was magical, more magic that day. It was exhilarating. And I can't wait to share it with you, for those of you who join us in 2019. If you're already signed up, you're probably just squealing right now because this is everything you're going to get to experience. So the next day it was time to board our train to Alsace. And we, of course, made sure everyone was fed and nourished for the two-hour train ride. God forbid you don't have food for 2 hours from Paris to the eastern part of France. Now, we had already arranged this in advance to have sandwiches, and everyone got to pick which kind of sandwich they wanted and what snack they wanted and what drink they wanted. So there's a little adorable sandwich and pastry cafe in the Marais called Laelo, L-A-E-L-O. Highly recommend them as well. So we had already made these arrangements in advance, of course, but we need to go pick everything up so that we can bring everything on the train with us to feed everybody. And we had already dropped off the day before all of the containers, the Tupperware containers. Brighty travels. Brighty, you can hear me. I know you can hear me. You're amazing. She travels from Bangkok to wherever we go with all these Tupperware containers and cooler bags, crushable cooler bags that we were able to give Laelo the day before for them to fill up those containers with all of our sandwiches so that we can, again, just create as little waste as possible. So, the drink containers were in recyclable material, but we're going to see what we can do to even make it more zero waste in 2019. So, like I said, everybody had their little zero waste kit. So I have some photos, it's pretty cute, of our travelers on their train with their little train table set up. We were in first class with their delicious lunch. Some people had ordered wine. Some people had just these delicious homemade juices and their sandwiches. Some were croissants, some were baguettes. Absolutely lovely. So we arrived at our beautifully restored 17th century hotel in Alsace. That would be our home for the next 6 nights in a little town called Ensisheim. Unless you know France and this region, Alsace, I cannot emphasize how vegan unfriendly this region is. You can do your own vegan trip to Alsace. You'll get by. You will definitely want to rent an Airbnb, have your own kitchen. Go to the markets and get, produce. Because if you don't want to eat fries every day, you will be hard-pressed to find edible fare in restaurants and cafes, aside from, French fries, which you can do. But it is an incredibly vegan unfriendly region, which is, again, like I said, one of the reasons we do these trips to these places, so that you can experience the magic of these regions and these areas and these cities and these countries and not miss out. From a historical perspective, it's a beautiful part of France, close to the Swiss and German borders, with a rich history. But from a vegan perspective, there's not so much history. In fact, this should sum it up for you. On one of the day trips to Switzerland, to Basel, one of our travelers told me that she happened upon a vegan stall at the Christmas market. And she told the stall vendor that she was part of a vegan trip, group trip to Alsace. Well, it turned out that the woman who ran the stall was from Alsace, and she couldn't believe there was a vegan trip there because she just knows how vegan unfriendly it is. So, like, you know, like more rural areas in the United States or Australia, the UK, wherever you're from, the locals rely on animal products, meat, dairy, cheese, cream. And while you could obviously find produce in the markets and stay in an Airbnb and find your own, make your own food, if you want to experience what everyone else experiences, the only way to do that is to rely on people like us, who've done all the thinking and the planning and the prepping for you. Now, Seb and Bridie, my partners in our vegan travel, CPG Vegan Trips, first scouted the area to find the perfect hotel for our group, of course, because we need a hotel to accommodate the size of our group, but also be able to make food that is not just good enough because it's vegan, but fabulous because that's what our travelers deserve and pay for. And we couldn't have been luckier. I'm still blown away at the chef and the manager of this hotel. Not only is this hotel incredible for its perfect size for our group, so again, we have our own hotel. It's a 17th century restored hotel. It's beautiful. It had the perfect ambiance and the standards for our trips. But the manager, the chef, the staff were a dream. So we took over the hotel. So nobody else was in the hotel except for us. Now, they do have a restaurant that they invite, you know, the public. So there were people who were having non-vegan food while we were there, but we have our own separate section in the hotel. They organize it and arrange it so that we are never sitting and eating with the folks who are eating animal products. And it couldn't have been more perfect. So we had worked with the manager and chef for 6 months leading up to the trip, and they embraced it wholeheartedly. So what's really nice about doing it again is that we know what to expect now. We know it's going to be fabulous. So it speaks volumes about them as professionals and individuals. So you can certainly go to this hotel. It's called La Couronne, C-O-U-R-O-N-N-E, La Couronne. And in Ensisheim, but working with them was amazing. So one of the things, for instance, I have a little interview I did with Vanessa, the hotel's manager. For instance, there were some deer heads on the walls, which is funny because the rest of the hotel, it's so beautifully decorated with beautiful images of living deer. And there's some beautiful bronze statues of deer and you know, stags and bucks, and it's really beautiful. And then they had a couple, you know, deer heads, actual deer heads. They removed them for us since we were going to be there. None of us want to look at deer heads. They removed them. I don't know if they've put them back. They may have. I hope not. But they were quite inspired by us, and we were quite inspired by them. So they stepped up like I've never seen before. Chef Alberto went to a little vegan store in a town called Mulhouse. It shows you how things are changing in this area. Mulhouse, M-U-L-H-O-U-S-E. It looks like Mulhouse, but it's pronounced Mulhouse. There's a little vegan store there. He went to that store to, you know, kind of discover some products and find out about some products. He tasted all the cheeses. He learned about how to veganize things. He was there for 6 hours. I cannot even explain that to you unless you experience for yourself how incredible the food was. And incredibly a talented chef he was. But I mean, I make my own food. I've had food organized by other vegan tour operators, and nothing we had comes close to what Chef Alberto did. Not just because it was fantastic food, but because it was fantastic seasonal, regional, Alsatian French food made by a non-vegan chef. So one thing you need to know about CPG Trips is that we don't just treat you to vegan food. We don't just treat you to awesome vegan food. We treat you to awesome vegan food specific to the region. We work with chefs to convert local dishes to vegan, which it's a challenge we set for ourselves, but we really love it because it's really important to us to celebrate the local cuisine. Now, Alsatian cuisine, like most French and German cuisines, is all about meat and cheese, especially in the winter months. So we and the chef were tasked with making vegan versions of these Alsatian cuisine, or at least dishes that were close enough to the traditional dishes that would be familiar to the chef and delicious. So we also provide the chef any chef we work with my recipes, because I know I can stand by these recipes. And it's another way for our travelers to experience another CPG aspect of the CPG trips. They're my recipes. So for instance, here are some of the Alsatian and French dishes that were made. We made sure were part of our trip, vegan style. So tarte flambé, you've probably heard of. There's a sausage-based dish called a choucroute. We use vegan sausages, of course, cheese plates. There's a Kugelhopf, which is an Alsatian cake made vegan, absolutely delicious. There's a croque monsieur, which is a grilled cheese, used vegan cheese. I'll talk more about that in a moment. The bûche de Noël, which is a traditional, gorgeous, cake log. It's it's basically a Christmas log. Crepe Suzette, coq au vin, onion tart, quiche Lorraine, cheese fondue, and chocolate fondue. And there are other recipes we provided that are conducive to the region, but also to the season. So we had garlic soup and butternut squash soup and pepper soup and lots of regional wines that our sommelier, we have our own sommelier, made sure we're all vegan. So not filtered through bones or animal products. So needless to say, if you come on our trips, prepare to eat a lot. We also feature salads, but the focus of the food is what's regional. And if you want to experience what other travelers experience around the world, an abundant array of choices and flavors, then you want to join us on these trips. I keep saying this, but I mean, truly, this is the way to do it. You're not going to be able to go to a vegan restaurant without going on a group vegan trip. You can go on another vegan group trip. That's fine. But you're hard pressed to find a chef who, if you just walked into the restaurant and said, could I have, a vegan coq au vin? They're not going to make it for you. They're not going to even have the ingredients for something like that, but they're not going to do it. So, just make sure that you're walking a lot to make up for it. In fact, David and I found a beautiful little lake nearby our hotel. If you are coming in 2019, beautiful trail along the lake in the park. It was just absolutely gorgeous. So assuming it doesn't rain, it rained a little bit, but we were really lucky with the weather. It really didn't rain very much. We wish it snowed. We didn't have snow until we got to Switzerland, but the weather was really perfect. Now, as I said, Alsace was our home for 6 nights, and we had a full schedule planned. Some of the activities are opt-ins, so there's plenty of time to just relax. You can opt out of things. You certainly don't have to come on everything. Strasbourg was first on our list, and our very own Alsatian tour guide would accompany us on all of our built-in and optional tours. Her name was Muriel, and she was amazing, and is, for those of you who know Rick Steves, his top pick for tour leaders in the Alsace region for his trips. So we're very lucky to get her, and we've already booked her for our 2019 trip. So she led all of the tours, all the walking tours, all the history tours for us. Again, those that were part of our trip and those that were optional. So for those who went, we headed out in the morning. Muriel led a walking tour of Strasbourg. It was once a Roman camp. It's now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, capital of European Parliament. And then the rest joined us, who didn't come to the walking tour, joined us for the fairy tale Christmas market part of the evening. One of the largest in France, this Christmas market is. After that, we treated our travelers to a surprise I don't want to mention in case you join us for next year, and then we headed back to our hotel. The next day started with a buffet breakfast that is characteristic of our trips, but it was just incredible. Homemade pastries, including croissants and pain de chocolat, cakes, baguettes, jams, vegan chocolate sauce, pancakes, crepes, fruit, yogurts, and fresh juice you can make yourself. So there's something for everyone if you want to just have something light, if you want to have something heavier, if you want to enjoy the pastries every morning. We have something for everyone to fuel up for our full days. One of the features of the area is the wine road. It's called the Route du Vin, and it's where a lot of the grapes are grown, particularly for the white wines famous in this region, the Riesling, the Gewurztraminer, the Pinot Gris. There's Pinot Noir also red as well, but it's a very famous wine region. So we hit the road the next day and went to a couple of the most charming villages we've ever seen. Kaiserberg being one of them. When we were in Rothenburg in Germany, we said that was the most charming, adorable town we've ever seen. Kaiserberg may be in the lead. It's absolutely adorable. After that, we headed to our private wine tasting and winery tour with cheese, of course, and then back to our hotel for dinner. Now, I mentioned Germany. I've mentioned it several times. And of course, Germany is right on the border. The next day, we headed across that border to the Black Forest, which is just such a beautiful place. I want to go back there and hike. And we found an incredible gem. There's a sanctuary for rescued wolves, bears, and there's two Lynxes. Now, I mentioned one of the things that sets us apart is our focus on local regional cuisine and spoiling the heck out of our travelers. These are all five-star trips. The other thing that sets us apart is our dedication to finding and vetting and visiting and supporting animal sanctuaries and vegan and animal organizations on our trips. In Thailand, I mentioned we visited several. In Vietnam, we visited several. Of course, you know what's coming up in Rwanda. And here in Germany, we discovered the Bear and Wolf Park in this region. Not in Alsace, it's actually in the Black Forest. Now, to be clear, when we find an animal sanctuary, we're thrilled to connect with other advocates who are doing amazing work to protect and rescue and provide refuge for animals. But it's also sad because it means there's a need for it, because at this moment, millions of animals all around the world are victims of abuse and neglect and cruelty. We know all of the circumstances that they are enduring. But thankfully, in every corner of the world, there are also animal sanctuaries founded by individuals who daringly intervene in the face of animal suffering. They're often the only hope between life and death, or freedom and captivity of an animal. And these men and women dedicate their lives to caring for the victims of human cruelty. Now, one such place we found, and we're so grateful for, is the Bear and Wolf Alternative Park, Reed Sanctuary, in the Black Forest in Germany. They call themselves an alternative park because parks in France have animals in them that tend to be more like zoos or exhibitions. So parks in France, if you see animal park, it's probably a zoo or some kind of exhibit. But this place calls themselves an alternative park because there are animals there, but it's really a sanctuary. Now, we had vetted the sanctuary. Seb had gone there before we visited, and we were very impressed with what we found. We felt very good about it, and we still do. It's an incredible place, even more so when we got there and had our private tour. Seeing the rescued lynxes and the brown bears and the European wolves who've been rescued from horrific circumstances. Some of them had their mothers shot in front of them. Some were being used for tourist photos. Some were being forced to ride tricycles in a circus. Some were imprisoned in dark concrete cells for onlookers to gape at. They are the lucky few who now live their lives out in safety and peace. And though their scars are painfully apparent, one bear displays stereotypic behavior caused by captivity. He obsessively licks at his paw some pace, and none can ever be returned to their wild homes. They're still in a wonderful place. I want to be clear, sanctuaries are not the solution. We will always need sanctuaries for emergency situations, but sanctuaries to solve the problem of animal exploitation by humans, they're not the solution. They're stopgaps to help some of these individuals until we stop taking away all animals' dignity and autonomy and freedom and habitat. But they are indeed places of refuge where the residents can find safety and peace. And we're so grateful to the people who run this nonprofit and for giving us a tour of their forested sanctuary and hosting us for a delicious vegan German lunch. One of the things I appreciated about our tour guide was he kept emphasizing that this very idea that, of course, the animals are better off here, but it's tragic we even have a need for a sanctuary like this. It's a beautiful sanctuary right in the forest. They're looking for a larger space if you want to make a donation. Either way, there's a link to their website on the page for this episode. It's too long to name here, but again, it's called the Wolf and Bear Alternative Park, and there's a link on my website. If you join us for our 2019 trip, you will be visiting them, and you coming on our trip also supports their work because we make donations as part of the whole package. It was a beautiful visit, and from there, everyone else went on to Baden-Baden, a spa town in the Black Forest. Baden means bath. And then we returned back to our hotel for another delicious dinner. I say everyone else returned. I went back to the hotel. I did catch the flu while I was gone, which was really annoying. So I didn't go on to Baden-Baden, but everybody else did. And I hear it was beautiful. The next day, we focused on Colmar, which is another ridiculously adorable Alsatian town with another adorable market, and we had a beautiful tour by Muriel. At this one, we were really excited to find a vegan stall as well, and we're planning on being in touch with the folks who run this vegan stall because we think we might be able to create something special with them for 2019. Colmar was absolutely lovely. Highly recommend going there if you're in that region. We headed back to the hotel to get ready for our Christmas party the next day, which was also our last day. I'm not giving you everything here, but once you're in that region, you'll know the places to go to. You'll want to go to to Strasbourg, you want to go to Colmar, you want to go to the Black Forest, you want to just go across to Switzerland, you want to go across to Germany. So, you know, so take all that into account. So the little town we stayed in Ensisheim, there was a little Christmas market across the street next to this massive cathedral, the little square there. So we did check that out. If you go to a Christmas market, I highly recommend you get roasted chestnuts. Best thing about Christmas markets next to the Glühwein, in my opinion. And I did get some of those at that little market. And the morning of our last day, some folks who opted for the walking tour of Basel, Switzerland, headed out. The rest stayed behind to wait to celebrate with our massive buffet lunch featuring more regional dishes. Then I did a little cooking demo. Then folks had free time. We also had a cookie making party. And then we were thrilled to have two vegan and animal activists come talk to our group about the incredible work they're doing in the region. I will have their websites on my website. So Animal Sass is one of them. I'm so grateful to Kirsty and Cyril for coming all the way from Strasbourg to tell us about their work. I really encourage you to check them out. The work they're doing in this region, which is so difficult, but also in France, which is so difficult, it's the kind of grassroots activism that I'm so inspired by. They accomplish it with so few resources and very little money, and yet they're incredibly effective. They're working to get vegan options in schools, which is really hard in France, harder than in the US. They're working to get wild animals out of circuses and public performances. They're educating the public with outreach and information. They're working to close down a primate lab. They're encouraging the public to say no to foie gras and fur. Again, it's hard everywhere, but it's really hard in France. So check them out. Get their website links from joyfulvegan.com and support their work, please. After Kirsty and Cyril shared with us the amazing work they're doing to protect animals in France, it was time to have our last dinner together, which was very sad, our Christmas dinner. And then we finished off the night with a very festive, very fun, kind of hilarious White Elephant Dirty Santa game. I've only known this game as White Elephant, but Seb and Brady call it Dirty Santa. There's nothing dirty and inappropriate about it. Basically, the idea is that each person on the trip buys a gift. We give them the funds to do this so that throughout the trip, they're looking for a gift. You know, it was like 20 euros or something like that. And they, you know, wrap it. And then during the game, names are randomly chosen from a hat. And the person who picks a gift, the person who's called picks a gift that's wrapped. So they have no idea what's in it. They open it, either they want it and they love it, or they have to worry about it getting stolen, or they don't want it and they hope it gets stolen, because the next person called can either steal that gift or pick from another wrapped gift. And this goes on in a cycle. Each gift can be stolen only 3 times, but it gets really fun and competitive when one particular gift is really popular and coveted by everyone. In this case, in our game, it was a wallet from Arceo. And there were some other lovely things as well. It was really appreciative. No one bought like stupid, cheap things. Like everything was something that people wanted. There were socks. There were lots of things. Jams, some wine, some vodka. Anyway, so it was a fun game. We had a really festive, it was a festive way to end our trip together. And that was it. It was incredible. It was really magical. And I'm so thrilled to have been joined by so many awesome people, 25 fabulous people we hope to see again. We already knew some of the folks. I mentioned the family who'd been with us to Italy. Another couple, Dave and Doris, had been with us on our Italy trip, our first maiden voyage, 5 years ago. So it was wonderful to see them again. And then also another couple who came with us to Thailand, came with us to Alsace, are also coming with us to Rwanda. And two good friends of mine joined us, Christy Middleton, who's a very dear friend, who's one of the best advocates I know. She was with us, and Milena, a dear friend of ours, she joined us too. So it was really incredible. We have a really high caliber of people who join us on these trips, people who are kind and funny and compassionate and full of integrity. So I'm really grateful to everyone who joined us, and I'm incredibly grateful to my partners in this. Brady and Seb are just unbelievable. And of course, my husband, who also contributes. We all had a fabulous time. And you can see some of the testimonials. I will say that, like I said, Doug said that he found the spirit of Christmas on this trip. And Leslie, whose feedback really meant a lot to us, I just want to share it with you because I think it'll give you a sense of what to expect as a traveler. She said, the food was all just incredible. I have spent the last 15 years working in the food industry with a primary focus on traditional foods of Spain and France before I became vegan. It was something I was very passionate about, but felt I could no longer be the case after becoming vegan. Thank you for showing me that it doesn't have to be that way, that she gets to enjoy all this. I never once felt I was missing out on any part of the food culture aspect of the trip. In fact, because of everything I learned on the trip, I was able to show my friends and family back in Paris that being vegan in France didn't mean missing anything. You all nailed showing what French Alsatian cuisine is all about. I know some folks were concerned with the of course, some people just are used to having salads every day. And so some people were, you know, just a little blown away by the abundance of the food, but I really hope that doesn't deter you from continuing to serve traditional cuisine on these trips. I think any worry can easily be adjusted by educating folks on what the traditional cuisine looks like and adding a salad to the meal like you did, which is also very French. So stick with French food. It really shined. Both of us really loved the pace of the trip too. We loved all the add-on tours. I know some folks said it was action-packed for them, but neither of us felt that way. I would have gone on more if there were more and there was more time. I think you all did a great job letting folks take their own pace. If they wanted to stay back and rest, it was fine. If not, there were great tours to participate in. Finally, I just want to say you all did an incredible job at organization. The last few years in my transition, we had worked with several tour operators in Spain and France to lead foodie tour groups. We soon realized being a tour leader was not for us and instead consulted with the groups to plan food tours of northern Spain and southern France. I know and understand the kind of planning, organization, teamwork, and patience it takes, and you all really just blew me away with all the incredible experience you put together. Thank you again, and I hope to someday join another CPG trip. I'm tearing up because Seb and Bridie are incredible, and I'm really proud of the work that we've done on these trips. Now, after the CPG part of the trip, I mentioned that many people extend their trip to spend more time elsewhere. Some people go back to Paris. In this case, some people went back to Paris. Some people went on to Berlin. Some people went to Nice. Now, the four of us had already made plans to go to Switzerland to spend Christmas in the Alps. So we had already rented an Airbnb for two nights so that we'd be able to cook. And we stocked up once we got to the train station in Bern in Switzerland. Now, train stations in Switzerland all have grocery stores in them, or just across the street, which is incredible. Migros and Co-op being the two most known and largest in Switzerland. So we were very easily and quickly able to stock up on groceries during the short amount of time we had between trains on our way to our chalet, which was, I think we took, you know, a bus, two trains, a cable car. We had many modes of transportation. We had already had some leftover food from our hotel. We were able to take some things that were perishable, some cakes and breads, and we stocked up on produce that we couldn't wait to cook. Speak for me and Brady, we were very excited to cook at our Airbnb, and because we were traveling on to another Airbnb in Normandy, France, I'm going to talk about that as well, after Switzerland, we really needed food for several days. So we wanted to also purchase as little packaging as possible. And we were able to find in the grocery stores, in the markets, produce that wasn't wrapped in plastic. Of course, there's some, as everywhere, there's produce wrapped in plastic, which is horrible and annoying. And we were able to come away with potatoes and leeks and avocados and heads of romaine lettuce and garlic and onions and carrots. And a few items we did get in packaging, such as soy milk, oats for oatmeal, cocoa powder to make hot cocoa, and wine. Now, that's another one of the advantages, of course, to staying in Airbnbs. Not only do you tend to have fully equipped kitchens like pots and pans, you also have some staples that hosts tend to let you use, like salt and pepper and herbs and spices. So I knew I was going to make my potato and leek soup. So I was just thinking in the grocery store, what would I make? What can I make with what we would have on hand? What would be simple, etc.? So that's something to keep in mind when you're planning something like that. Of course, we bought bread, and we knew we'd have one thing on Christmas Day was cheese fondue. Now, the first time I had cheese fondue since I became vegan, I don't even know that I had it much when I was not vegan. I was young. I was in New Jersey. We weren't like, you know, that's not how I wasn't, you know, eating cheese fondue when I was growing up. I don't know. This wasn't part of our culture. But so the first time I had at least cheese fondue when I was vegan, which is now almost 20 years, was with Bridie and Seb when we rented an Airbnb in Bavaria in southern Germany. I mentioned that trip already. We were there for Christmas a few years ago, and it was unbelievable. The brand they brought with them then, which is of course the brand we used on this trip, is called Vegusto, V-E-G-U-S-T-O. They're a vegan cheese company based in, are you ready, Switzerland. Yes, Vegusto is a Swiss-made cheese, which is pretty awesome considering the fact that, like France, Switzerland prides itself on cheese, making over 450 varieties of cheese, all mostly from cow's milk rather than goat's milk. So Vegusto makes a huge variety of cheeses, including brie and raclette, as well as vegan meats and burgers and slices and roasts. My understanding is that of this writing, Vegusto is not available in the United States, but you'll definitely want them on your radar if you're traveling to the UK or you live in the UK or continental Western Europe. They're incredible. So Vegusto. We arrived at our chalet in a little car-free town called Gimmewald, which was adorable, accessible only by cable car with the view of the Alps right outside our windows. Kind of magical, ridiculous. It started snowing, which is just what we ordered. So we had a magical walk up to the next village, Murin, which is also car-free. It's larger, but it was just absolutely perfect. We had some hot drinks and delicious fries in a little après-ski called the Gondel Bar, which I recommend. We walked around a little. We got some more groceries from the local market, and then we took the cable car back to Gimmewald, where we made dinner, drank hot cocoa, and were my friends. Thank you. Everyone indulged my desire to watch It's a Wonderful Life because I have to watch it every Christmas. They had never really seen it before. I don't understand. So it was a really lovely day, and we had another lovely day to look forward to. It was Christmas. So we woke up to a perfectly clear sky, snow all over the, you know, mountains, all over the ground, but perfectly sunny and clear. Again, just what we ordered. And we headed out after breakfast to the Schilthorn, which is one of the summits in these Bernese Alps. It's above Murin. So again, all of this is reachable only by cable car. And needless to say, the cable cars were continually packed with skiers. We're not skiers ourselves, so it was pretty awesome to watch people skiing down the mountain. It was pretty cool. Now, at the top of the Schilthorn is the Pies Gloria, which is a panoramic revolving restaurant. And it's known as being the setting for the 1969 James Bond film On Her Majesty's Secret Service, starring George Lazenby. So David, Seb, and Brady were brave enough to walk along the thrill walk. I did a little bit of it, but I couldn't do the whole thing. It entails walking along a little rope bridge. I'm talking 10,000 feet in the air. So there's obviously a net underneath. But it's crazy. There's a glass bridge at one point. There's like a tunnel you have to crawl through. Again, 3,000 meter, 10,000 foot high. I walked on some of it, but then my stomach was in my throat. So I just went back up and it was enough. It was enough for me. It was pretty awesome. But I do recommend it if you have a strong stomach and you go to Switzerland. In fact, I will tell you, speaking of going to Switzerland, that one of the things that came out of this trip to Switzerland was a discussion among us that we're going to see about putting together a CPG Vegan Switzerland trip that would be in a, you know, springtime or summertime that would entail several days of walking, trekking, hiking. I've heard from a number of you who were very interested in the 100-mile trek we did in Scotland when we walked from Glasgow to Fort William. And it's not a trek we can organize as a CPG trip. It's just too complicated to organize with that many people for such a long trek. And there, you know, if you listen to that episode, there are plenty of outfits that help you manage it. And, you know, you can take my advice around the food. But because Switzerland tends to be a little more difficult for people to eat vegan, again, this is one of the things that's that we look for. It's very appealing to us as a destination, aside from the fact that it's stunning. We'd be able to incorporate hiking into the trip itself. We'd enjoy the beauty that is Switzerland. We would perhaps take a tour of the Vegusto factory. We'd include the city of Bern in our itinerary. And so, you know, let me know if this is appealing to you at all. We did spend a little time in Bern on this trip, and I was quite taken with the city. Seb had already spent a lot of time there. I think Brady had been there as well, and both loved it. And we did we were quite taken by it. Not simply because the word Bern is an etymology. It means bear in German, but because it was a beautiful city, it's very small for a city, so very manageable, but it has a ton of history. It has a beautiful old historic part of the city, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and has some really awesome vegetarian things happening there, including vegan restaurants and vegan shops. And after a quick scout, we also noticed vegan items on all the restaurants in the train station. So it's a really hopeful sign. A sad part of the city is the fact that they do celebrate their legacy, Bern being bear, meaning bear, with bears, quite literally by having live bears in an enclosure in the city, in the middle of the city. As you may have guessed, considering the city's name, The bear is the symbol of the capital city, this capital city. Its image can be found on flags and coats of arms and the sides of buildings. And actual bears were in abundance at one time in Switzerland for centuries until they were hunted to extinction about a century ago. It's not very different than California, whose symbol is the grizzly bear. If you can imagine the California flag, grizzly bear. There are no longer grizzly bears in California. We hunted them to extinction. That's how much we love them. We make them the mascots of our cities or states, but we kill them off completely. And the legend of Bernd has it that Count Berchtold V named the capital after killing a bear in the city he was founding. I don't understand that. So Bern's Berengraben, which means bear pit, dates back to at least 1513 when the chronicler historian Valerius Anschelm described the army's return from a military victory with a living bear as war booty. The animal was put in the defensive trench along the city walls, and so the tradition of having bear pits began. A new pit was created in 1764 just outside the city's former limits, and as many as a dozen bears have lived in this 11-foot deep space more or less since the city expanded around it. The pit was empty for a dozen years when Napoleon occupied Bern in 1798 and shipped the city's bears to Paris. It was briefly empty again in 1853 when a family of French bears died out and new ones were imported, and during modifications in 1974 and 1975 when the bears were housed elsewhere. While the bear pit has remained a ubiquitous feature of tourist guides, its allure has dimmed. There has been concerns from animal rights activists and just concerned citizens that, of course, this pit does not offer the bears anything for their own enjoyment, etc. They have no dignity and, of course, no autonomy and freedom. So pit is a perfect word. If you look at pictures online, it is a concrete prison. It's just despicable. But about 10 years ago, because of outcries from the public, you know, again, not just animal advocates, which we need animal advocates doing this, but just, you know, your average citizen could see a pit like that and not be happy with it. So the city began looking at how they can make a better home for the bears. So they began a decade of construction, and the new bear park was opened in 2009, and it stretches over 65,000 square feet from the current pit to the river below. And so the bears can roam over a wider expanse of greenery. They can catch fish from the water. There's a wall in the river that so that they won't be taken out by the current, or they won't, you know, swim away, although they should swim away. so it's definitely better for the three bears who live there. I mean, you can see it. You're just walking across the bridge and you can see it. It's much better than the despicable pit. They still actually have access to that pit if they want to go there through a tunnel. I have a feeling they probably don't go there very often. But it's just a tourist attraction, and they're completely exposed to the city noise and dirt. So you won't be surprised to hear that I'm not a fan. If you do go to Bern, obviously you can see them. You can't not see them. We didn't see the bears. We could see the whole enclosure because it was hibernation season. They were hibernating. But I appreciate that the city made improvements after outcry from the public. But let's hope that this is something that will end one day and the bear pit and the bear park will be something we look back on with horror. I'm looking on it with horror now. So hopefully we will all look upon it with horror as something that was once there and no longer is. But it's certainly not enough to write off the entire city of Bern or the country of Switzerland. And we do think a CPG Vegan Switzerland trip would be a perfect addition to our other trips, period. So we had a lovely stay in Switzerland. And on the 26th, we made our way back to France. So as I said, all of our food pretty much came from what we were making. You know, I remember we went to one place. Yeah, actually, at the top of that, the Schilthorn, we did get hot cocoa that had soy milk. So, I mean, we could find some things, but we really relied on food and I was happy to cook. I was really happy to make my own food and have salads, etc. But we moved on because we were going to spend the next 6 nights essentially in Normandy, France. So we went back to France. And this was an area we were quite excited to spend some time in for all its medieval history as well as for World War II history. We're all fans of history. We're all history buffs. And so it was a real highlight it was a real highlight for me, I'd say, from the whole trip. It was one of my top five things that we did, even though it wasn't part of the CPG trip. Going to Normandy was pretty incredible. We again stayed in an Airbnb, and we had food left over that we carted with us from Alsace, and then from Switzerland. But we also stocked up. There was a large grocery store near our Airbnb. Obviously, the produce is vegan, but there were a ton of vegan other items. There was like yogurt and rice pudding and plant milks. I mean, there was just... It was as if it was in a grocery store in the U.S., just a ton of vegan options. There's no dearth of vegan options in the grocery stores, and there's more and more vegan restaurants popping up. But you know, I still, in that area in Normandy, it's still very vegan unfriendly, so you really want to get an Airbnb. So the first thing we did when we hit Cannes, which was the first city we were in, was go to a vegan restaurant. There were a couple vegan restaurants in Cannes, that's C-A-E-M, and we went to one called Greedy Guts, which was really delicious. The food was delicious. The ambiance was adorable. So we walked around Cannes a bit, and we visited William the Conqueror's castle and his tomb, where I think like a thigh bone is still there, buried. It's been there for quite a long time, so I think they've lost some of his remains, but his thigh bone is still there. And I, given my penchant for the history of England and English language, as they were shaped after the Norman invasion, and knowing some of Norman history, it was quite a highlight for me. That was one of the things I really, really, really wanted to do, and it was a thrill to be there. So had a wonderful day in Cannes, and then we headed back to our Airbnb. The next day, we spent on the beaches of Normandy, particularly Omaha Beach, and we went to the American Cemetery at Omaha Beach and Point Dock, and went to what I think was probably the best World War II memorial I've ever been to. It was the Cannes Memorial Museum. Its focus is D-Day, but honestly, it's really about the entire story that led up to World War II and D-Day and the invasion at Normandy. It was incredible. Normandy was definitely a highlight, and really loved it. And then it was time to start our journey home, which included an overnight stopover in London on New Year's Eve, which was perfect. We went to The Gate for lunch, which is a vegetarian restaurant that David and I went to in 2003, the first time we were in London. I actually took a photo of David because I remember he was sick when we were there in 2003. He had a cold. And I remember taking a photo, and we still have that photo. And then I took another photo that looked very similar to it being at The Gate. It was a different location. The Gate, I think, has a few locations. But so I put that up on my website. You can go check that out. So today, the restaurant The Gate is way more vegan than vegetarian. It's a vegetarian restaurant, but lots of vegan options. And our server said they were going to be adding even more, which is fantastic. And of course, London is a vegan haven. I'm not going to name all the vegan restaurants, but that's where we went for lunch. And we had a lovely dinner at a non-vegan restaurant that has a vegan prefix menu. The restaurant's called Treadwell's. It was in Covent Garden. And if you go to their website, Treadwell's, Treadwells.com, you can see they have a vegan tasting menu called Vegwells, and it was really delicious. And with Brighty and Seb and David, our dinner companions were their friends, Rowena and Matt, who I've been in touch with in the past but hadn't met in person. So it was lovely. We had a really lovely dinner. And it was really cute because Brighty became vegan from my podcast, and Seb became vegan from my podcast and from Brighty making delicious food to show him that it's nutritious and delicious. And then Rowena had become vegan from Brighty, and Matt became vegan from Ro. So it was a little vegan train at our table. And I also want to recommend Matt. Please follow Matt's work on Instagram. You can go to his website, Matthew Maron, MARAN.com. And he's Matt Maron Photo on Instagram. He is a wildlife and landscape photographer, and there are not many vegan wildlife photographers. He's incredibly talented. You will enjoy many of his photos of foxes, especially in the urban London landscape. And one of his fox photos was nominated for this year's Wildlife Photographer of the Year at the Natural History Museum of London. So go to his website, MatthewMaron.com, and you can vote for him. You can go to Instagram and vote for him through his bio. But I really encourage you to check out his work. He's also been producing a podcast called Matthew Maron Podcast, in which he talks to other wildlife photographers, but also other creative professionals and publishers and editors, designers, conservationists. So check him out and follow his beautiful work. So we had a very short night's sleep after New Year's Eve, and we headed to the airport for our flight home. We were very grateful to be able to fly business class using miles, both to Paris and from London. So we had lots of food to keep us full on our 10 plus hour flights. The food on British Airways was far superior to that on Air France. And I'll save my thoughts about how badly airlines need help providing edible vegan food to passengers for another time. I just want to encourage you again to check out CPG Vegan Trips. I'm so grateful to have partnered with Bridie and Seb on this venture. If David and I only continued to travel with them as friends, it would be fantastic enough. But to be able to offer these trips to you, to the public, to enjoy the amazing itineraries and experiences we create, that Seb is really the master behind, is such a thrill. And I really hope you can join us on a future one. I hope that this episode was helpful to you, not only to encourage you to come on a CPG vegan trip, but really to kind of get some tips about where to go in this region and how to eat and how to thrive as a vegan. Until then, until we see you on a CPG vegan trip, and until next time for the animals, this is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. Thank you for listening.